Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
County, and I drive the main road, searching in the sun for another overload. I hear you singing in the wire.
The song is like falling into a very warm blanket. Good God. Good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday to all of you. It's a full house today. In the room we got Steve Silva.
Yes, we do.
Amber Ash McCary.
Is still on the line.
Wow, she actually hit it in tune. Producer Zach.
Hey now.
And of course, intern Christopher.
Oops, try that again, sorry.
There we go. And I'm Sean Robertson. Together, we are your Weekly Dose podcast.
Thank you for joining us today as we're streaming live from Orange County, California. We are the only podcast who continue the radio traditions of Mark and Brian. If you miss them as much as we do, then you tuned into the right show.
But of course, if you're also looking for a podcast that's fun, interactive, that you can be a part of every week, like a family reunion or getting together with your friends at a bar, then this podcast is also for you.
Yes, and for those who've recently found us, thank you guys so much. We're so glad that you're here with us. And if you would like to take part, be a part of the show, join the conversation, hit us up on our socials.
Absolutely.
Give you those a second.
Yes. Today's show, we got a lot of cool things for you guys. We're going to be talking about a lot of the amusement parks opening up. We'll be talking to the great, wonderful man, Mighty John Marshall, and talking about his record collections and how much, maybe some of the records you have or I have. So it'll be really cool. We're also going to be talking about what do you see in this picture and talking in your sleep. And, of course, we have some haiku poetry for you because it's National Haiku Poetry Day.
Of course it is.
And besides calling in, you can interact with the show several ways. You can comment on our website, yourweeklydose.com. Send a message via Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1. Say hello to us on Facebook at yourweeklydose. Or if you want to send us a personal message, you can email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com. And intern Christopher is monitoring all of that information.
He is, and you can always download the show for free from the website, yourweeklydose.com. If you subscribe through iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, just search for Your Weekly Dose. And guys, rate and review the show. Come on.
Very important, yeah, absolutely. And of course, today's theme song is Wichita Lineman by the great, wonderful Glenn Campbell, because today is National Lineman Day. And so we want to celebrate with that song there. And of course, as always, any of the music that we play from all of the wonderful artists on our show, you can purchase at Amazon, which is our main sponsor. All you have to do is go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and shout to your heart's delight. Because then you'll say something like this.
Shut up and take my money.
Exactly. So, and away we go. Simple as that. So,
God,
yeah, I still can't believe Glenn Campbell is gone, though.
Man.
How old was
Boy,
he?
His voice is amazing. His songs he sang, like that one and others, are just, they get in your memory and they live there. They don't just, you know, sit there. They actually live. It comes to light every once in a while in certain situations.
Yeah, to me, he was one of those artists where he knew, I think, how to take a song and interpret it in the proper way, kind of a thing, and twist it or change it or this or that or whatever.
Without being overbearing in it. It's very comfortable.
Right, exactly.
Comforting
exactly.
music. He was 81. He had a nice long life in Nashville.
He did.
Arkansas boy. He's an Arkansas boy and then lived in Nashville for the
rest of his
years.
Life. Yeah. But he had an amazing career, though, too, as well. Everything from coming out to Los Angeles and being part of the Wrecking Crew to being a Beach Boy,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, and then going out on his own as a singer-songwriter, and then using the Wrecking Crew again to perform all of his albums
mm-hmm.
and everything. It's just an amazing, amazing story. And for those of you who haven't gotten his last album, it is amazing, a beautiful way to say goodbye to his fans, too.
Amazing?
Yes, just absolutely just
amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was just, wow. It was really good.
Joanne Worley would say, amazing.
Exactly.
He also had four wives.
That's that is amazing.
He made those rounds there.
Yeah, well, Larry King had nine or ten
oh,
or something
gosh,
like that.
That's Larry King. He's in a whole other animal.
Yeah, so anyway. You know what? Let's catch up with each other. Ah, there it is. So while they're singing, I want to know what's been going on with Zach.
Oh, do you now?
Uh-oh.
I don't know. I'm in my Red Tyler was... Ah!
There it is.
Absolutely ridiculous. Ah!
God, he doesn't say
what the hell happened to
he
Zach?
He even makes the face.
Yeah.
He even literally... He
you should grow a handlebar mustache.
Yes!
And then start tossing confetti around, too.
I think you should.
I should.
Be the punk rock... version.
I'm a punk rock Rip Taylor.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Didn't think that would actually happen.
Goals.
I'm trying to think. The only thing that I can confirm is that I'm in pain.
Oh, my God.
Maybe Steve's right. Maybe I am looking for attention.
We're never going to live this down.
But, I've been trying to get back into a workout routine, and I kind of overexerted myself the other day.
Most men do when they first start.
Well,
you see the hot blonde next. No, I'm just kidding. I have a girlfriend, but
she's a hot blonde.
She is a hot blonde
next to you. Yeah.
It was I was gonna make because I'm sure she's listening. I'm gonna get in trouble.
No, you're not.
But shut up.
It was actually a redhead next to you.
Yeah.
Wow. He just had to make it way worse.
But you know, I guess maybe I was trying to show off a little bit. I guess
you were showing off for yourself. You were being your own little ego.
Was I?
Yeah.
You think so? It's like Amber was there.
Let's see if I can bench 25 pounds.
Oh, ouch.
Oh, I can.
See
well, on each side.
I can see him at the gym, though, not looking at anybody, just in his own head.
I wish I could wear sunglasses. I wish I could wear sunglasses in the gym and get away with it.
Guys, you can, but it's douchey.
It is. Yeah. It's incredibly douchey. Is Sean taking a shit back here, or what?
No, that's like people, how they lift weights.
It's all how they sound like when they take a shit.
Exactly, which scares me.
Yeah.
That was terrible.
Anything that makes me go, I'm putting it down.
I should match the farts with your...
Yeah, exactly.
People do fart all the time in the weight section of the...
Especially when they're doing their squats.
Nuts. Yes. No, when they're... Yes, or when they're doing the pulls. And,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what? There's been many... There's been several times...
What is it? The jerks, though?
Yeah.
There has been several times where there was a funky smell in a gym, and I'm like, you know, I would be the first to admit it if it was me. But
well, you're not going to announce it.
I should, though.
Like, hello,
everyone,
that was me.
I farted.
I just shit my pants.
Later.
But I am.
Boy, this show just went to the bottom.
I am
quickly.
Right away.
Ripped and ripped.
That's a new record.
And there's no duvet either, so, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad you went to me?
I did.
So, nothing big. Oh, almost done with my class. I'm actually still in that middle of studying the Middle East class.
How's that going?
Good. I actually got an A on my last quiz.
Nice, brother.
Which is funny because I didn't even really study for it at all. I Googled the answer.
Shut
oh my
up.
God.
I still
Did
got an
cheat?
A. You know what? There was a 50-50 chance any of those questions could have been right or wrong with what I Googled, but it was because we're doing more of the modern day world, so it's more like to do with like the Iraq War and Saddam Hussein.
Okay.
And that's a little fresher in my mind than the Ottoman Empire from 200 years ago.
Right.
Which is more interesting, let's just be honest.
Well, I retained this better, apparently. But 4 more weeks and I'm done, and then I'm graduating. Oh, the other cool thing. Remember when I used to complain about that Spanish class that I had?
Yeah, with the Chinese lady?
Yeah.
She Korean. Was Korean.
Oh, Korean?
Come on, get it right.
I thought she was Chinese.
It's been expunged from my GPA.
Why?
Oh, awesome.
Fullerton College has this thing where if you have like a certain amount of A's and B's, that they will take one of your classes that you got a D in and they will take it off your record.
I thought you got like a B or C in that thing.
No, I did not. Amber, clap with him. Thank you. So, How's that for entertainment?
That's
online?
Awesome. All
right. So you got a D in it?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I got D in it. I tried. That was an impossible class.
Wow.
I will never, ever, ever, ever take a Spanish class with someone
who is
sorry, of that descent, because it just did not work out.
Not descent, but you know, you'll take a Spanish class with, like, you know,
someone who can
a Spanish person.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, exactly. Yeah, that's my friend.
Someone of Latin American
and that's,
descent.
That's what my friends are like. Why didn't you go with, like, Mr. Sanchez or something? Like, why'd you go with Miss Kim for Spanish?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, was that racist?
Well,
no.
Amber.
It's edgy.
It's edgy.
Edgy.
We're edgy on this show.
Yeah. Okay. Next time, go with a Filipino.
Edgy?
Yeah, maybe I should do that.
Hey, no, I'm serious. I mean, like, the Filipinos are like the Latin Americans of Asia. They were invaded by Spain. They kept their names. They're short. They're brown.
That's
you know.
True. This is my buddy Robbie. That's what he is.
Yeah.
He looks like Tiger Woods. I'm always like, you look like Tiger Woods. He's like, no, I'm not. I'm white. I'm like, dude, you're not white. Sorry.
Have you looked in the mirror?
Yeah. So that was my week.
Cool. Steve, how was yours, bud?
Great. Came here on Wednesday night. Had a good time. We were working on stuff for the show.
I was here, too.
And I watched a cool movie. I've been watching movies and stuff. You know, on my new tablet because it's a little bigger than my phone, so it's like really easy to watch. And I've got Tubi TV.
But just remember,
turn off your fucking phone.
Tubi TV.
By chance, did you look up that one film that I was telling you about?
I don't remember what.
The Cherokee Kid.
Oh no. No.
Okay.
Moving on.
Wow, that was a train wreck.
We did no.
We talked about
we
it.
We talked about it, yeah. So
yeah,
I
that's
didn't
what I'm saying.
Need to look it up.
Yes, you.
We're getting
See?
There.
I'll look it up this week, okay?
Alrighty, then.
How about that?
No, just seeing if it's on your thing. If not, like I said, I have the DVD of it.
Yeah. So you really want me to watch that movie.
It's funny, dude. It's funny.
It can't be any harder to get him to watch that than it was for me to get him to watch Joker, which took like a year. I got him the movie, and I bought him the movie, and he still wouldn't watch it.
Like a DVD? See?
I watched it eventually.
Yeah, a year later.
I watched it eventually.
See, he's filibustering.
See, everybody has their time, and
Do
I
know
have
what a filibuster is?
My
no.
time. And sometime, your time and my time aren't the same time.
What is this, a freaking sci-fi movie?
I know what a filibuster
is. That was
a Hoku.
Hoku? A Hoku?
Hoku is from that's from Spirited Away. That's Haiku and Hoku.
Haiku and Hoku, yeah.
I went to some anime all of a sudden.
Yeah, you did. It's like...
Do you want to tell us about yours?
Well, obviously, everybody came over Wednesday night.
We did.
We hung out. We were trying some new things for the show, some... mixing things up a little bit, you know, to keep things fresh and try new ideas. And
yeah.
Worked out really well. So, I got to say, it was fun having everybody over just like that to chill and talk and having pizza and everything and sipping a little bit of the vino.
Mm.
Oh, and we got to meet someone special.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
I had picked up my dad's ashes
mm-hmm.
on the way here, and so we hung out with my dad.
And he was a really nice guy. Not talkative that much, though.
My dad's the coolest.
Yeah, well, didn't talk that much, but we understood why. But he was pretty cool. And
you were surprised at how tall he was.
I was very surprised. Because you actually did show his pictures.
Yeah, I showed you pictures.
Of your dad.
He was a tall guy.
And there's some times where he looks like Lou Diamond Phillips.
Oh, yeah. And it's just the German and the English. I don't know how that, you know, blend it.
Mm-hmm.
And he had that, like, nice olivey tan skin.
Yeah, he did.
That's my sister Lindsay. They looked identical.
Mm-hmm.
She's like the female version.
Unfortunately, we got the turn pink skin in the sun.
I was telling Brandy yesterday, I was like, oh, I have three skin tones. Translucent white, like reflective white, white, just white, or lobster red cancer.
Like Sean said, Sean said this before, she's like a glass of milk with hair.
Exactly.
Shit. You are too. So what else, Don?
Let's see. And then this other band that I'm drumming for, got together with them Friday night, and that was a little bit of fun. I think the guys kind of realized how green they really are, you know, because they said, okay, hey, we're working on these songs. All right, no problem at all. And so we were working like on the Beatles Come Together and then a Ray Charles blues song, and then I forgot the third song. And I looked him up Friday, and oh, it's a CCR song, Green River. And so I'm going, okay, Come Together, I kind of know, because there's something specific about it. I learned it recently, so I know how to do that. So the only one I really had to learn was the Ray Charles song, because it's the way the drummer is. The drums are kind of buried a little bit because it's done in mono. But it's a very upbeat kind of thing, and the guy's playing off the tom and playing the snare at the same time. So it's a real funky.
What's Ray Charles' song?
Oh, God.
Oh, come on. You should know this.
I Don't Need a Doctor or something like that.
This is a nice eclectic little
mix. Don't Need No Doctor?
Yeah.
Come Together, a Ray Charles song, and Green River.
That's CCR.
That's a nice little.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a broad little.
That is a nice combo.
Yeah, and so the Ray Charles one was the only one I really had to pay attention to do it. So I get there, and the guy's playing it like at half the tempo instead. So, yeah, this is cool. Kick it up a little bit more so you can hear the drums.
I like it.
I don't need no doctor, because I know what's in it.
Hear the toms?
Yeah.
I don't need no doctor, no, no, cause I know what's in it. I've been too long away from a baby. Oh, I'm coming down.
Well, I know I can't do this.
Yeah. So the beat's a little bit different, you know, and the fills are very, very fast.
I just love some Ray Charles.
You know, so I'm going, okay, the fills I can kind of do in halftime, but kind of get them in. But for me, the main thing was trying to get that main beat down off the toms.
Yeah.
You know, and
ooh, that just made me want to watch the
movie. And so, you know, I kind of did my homework, and then the other guys were like going, okay, this is kind of tougher than what we thought.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so now, like, the guy playing guitar... and singing, he wants to try and find a guitarist so he can concentrate on singing, you know, and everything. And then the bass player wants to take lessons from me.
So, oh my gosh!
So it's gonna be kind of cool and interesting and whatever, you know. And the funny thing is, I'm not a drummer. I play drums,
yeah,
but I'm not a drummer, so, you know, and everything. So it's gonna be interesting to see how
go
it goes.
With it.
Yeah, might as well. What the heck?
Go with it.
Yeah,
can't wait to see you guys.
How about you, Amber? How was your week?
Good, just sitting here sipping my tea, my Prince mug. It's good, just work.
Is the new job?
I love my new job. It is a great company. I work for two amazing dudes. One, Josh Runcher, he's the CEO, and he has several different other businesses as well. He's a great entrepreneur, and he is a software developer. Like, the software that we work from at the office, he is like, I hate what's out there available. I'm just going to make my own software. And it's amazing. So he, like...
Now, what kind of software has he developed, though? Or is he using?
All kinds of interesting... So the one that we're using, it's called... Oh, gosh. I can't remember the one we're using right now that he created. But it's basically a check-in and POS system.
Which means what?
It's not a point of sale per se, but it is a check-in system for our members. So we check them in. It's complicated. I don't know. I'm not.
That keeps track.
Okay, all right.
Keeps track of the time they use
everything. Yeah, yeah. And it's so simple to use, but it's really complicated on the back end when he's going through and showing us. I'm like, oh my gosh. And he also has a master's degree in marketing. He's just this really cool, nice, nerdy guy. And he's really above board, no nonsense. I love working for these guys. So Iron Fire is a co-working company.
Okay.
And they took like the WeWork model and they dialed it in without all the bullshit. I don't know if anybody's familiar with WeWork.
No, I'm not familiar with WeWork.
So
I'm familiar with iWork.
Yeah. So basically what these co-working companies do is they go and they buy an office space.
Okay.
Lease it. Or now they are... It's a complicated thing they're doing with real estate. Anyways, and they turn it into like a communal office area. And if you don't have your own dedicated office, you can buy a membership there at different tiers. And we have all these different styles. We have different types of meeting rooms. We have quiet zones. You have, you know, if you want to have membership with like a dedicated desk that's just yours,
right?
24-hour access.
So that you're renting out that desk space or that cubicle or whatever.
Well, it depends. You can, if you want a dedicated desk, you can do that. That's a membership tier. Or you can just, there's like a co-working area where you come and go as you please, and you just work. Everybody works at different desks in that area. It's really nice.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean because
very fancy.
The guy Brian down over at Stitch Radio kind of does the same thing.
Yeah,
we went there.
When we went there, yeah.
Yeah, and he rents out in a certain spot or whatever, but it's a communal thing because there's a bunch of other people in that office, but in the main boardroom, he can then set up meetings or whatever.
Yeah.
But then his space is the radio station. Or his podcast area is like at the far end.
Exactly.
Kind of a thing.
So we were talking about that, but they don't want to get into that specifically. They want to stick more to, you know, simple office things and having like a studios for that. We did talk about that though. Briefly.
Interesting.
We're kind of throwing around the idea. So our new space opens up soon.
If I need an advisor,
I know.
Let me know.
Yeah. The new space opens up May 3rd. And I'm very excited. Today we have a big event, like a construction walkthrough for.
Cool.
I love it.
Cool.
And I get to do everything. I love it.
Well, speaking of opening up, a lot of major theme parks have been closed for the last year and a half now since the whole COVID thing. If you're not familiar, a lot of the theme parks are slowly beginning to open up here in Southern California.
Woohoo!
Zach, you're going to go down to SeaWorld pretty soon, right?
Tomorrow, yeah.
They've been actually opened.
Hush over there.
Since, I think, February or March of this year.
I haven't been there since I was like 8.
It's totally changed it. And I think if
I wouldn't know.
If you are a marine freak, there actually is some really good exhibits over there.
I like sharks.
So that you will love.
Are there great white sharks there?
No, there are no great white sharks in captivity.
What about like ones that, you know, eat you in the movies?
No.
Like no.
Yeah, they got like tiger sharks.
Smaller ones.
Yeah.
All right, I'll tell you.
They'll bite your ankle.
I don't think the big sharks tolerate being in captivity.
Really?
No. Yeah, and there's never been a great white in captivity.
I want to stuff. I want a stuffed shark.
Anyway, so of course everybody's been trying to figure out when is Disneyland going to open because basically Walt Disney World has been open for some time. They've been doing very, very well over there. No breakouts or anything that we're aware of. So here are all the dates for the amusement parks. Disneyland and Disney's California Adventure will reopen April 30th. Disney's Grand California Hotel and Spa will reopen April 29th with limited capacity ahead of the parks. The Vacation Club at the Grand California will reopen May 2nd. And Disney's Paradise Pier Hotel and the original Disneyland Hotel will open at later dates. Universal Studios Hollywood has reopened as of yesterday. So if you want to go see the world of Harry Potter, you can now.
Oh, butterbeer.
I've never tried it. Is it good?
Oh.
Okay, you're taking me there.
What is it? I got to hear
this
about this.
It really is good. I was surprised.
Really?
It's sort of a root beer, vanilla.
Is it like
type
a, like, almost like a cream soda?
Sort of, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
but so I like it.
It's a little different, but it's really good. I'd like to see if I could get some and take home. And
that'd be nice.
Try it with different alcohol.
Is it real beer?
Is there alcohol in it?
No, it's just a soft drink.
Like a seltzer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Huh.
It's not an alcoholic.
Oh, that's boring.
I wonder why they call it butter beer then.
I just keep imagining just a beer with a big stick of butter in it.
Did because
root
it
beer?
Was.
Yeah.
I think in the book it may have had
some alcohol.
Qualities of alcohol.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Six Flags Magic Mountain. Basically, it's opened up earlier this month. Which was April 3rd, but however, guests may need to make a reservation before heading out to the park so they can keep track of capacity levels. What's nice about Six Flags, though, for those who had a 2020 season pass, it's been extended for this year as well.
Nice.
So you didn't have to pay all over again, so they extended it out. Legoland opened as of yesterday as well. The park will officially reopen to the public with all rides, shows, and attractions, including the Sea Life Aquarium and the Lego Chima Water Park. And yeah,
I've always wanted to go to Legoland.
You've never gone?
Nope. I've never been there either.
It's pretty cool. I would definitely say if you go, definitely take some younger kids with you.
Yeah, because that's creepy if you don't.
Yeah, like me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you the younger kid?
I am.
Okay. He is the younger kid. It is kind of cool because it is kind of geared for that.
Younger?
Yeah, 5 to you know what 12, I would say.
You know what I'm picturing now? Like, dress Steve up with like a propeller hat and a big lollipop in his hand.
Yeah.
This is my son.
Yeah.
God.
And the puppet. He has to have the puppet on his hand.
Yeah, and the puppet.
Oh, we'll get kicked right the F out.
Yeah. No, they'll love it.
Yeah, we're not even going to let you in.
But it's got some roller coasters there, too, and everything, and it's got some cool rides.
Like little kid roller coasters or adult roller coasters?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
A little bit of both, because it's, like I said, it's mainly geared, I think, for that 5 to 12-year-old kind of thing. Teenagers, not really, not so much, no. So, like I said, if you got little ones, it's, you know, definitely a good place to go. It's fun. We've been there several times when Roman was younger. So, really good for that.
I think my kids went, but not with me. I think with the grandparents.
I bet I can get away with bringing Amber and saying Amber's my kid.
Boo.
Yeah, you probably could, really.
Oh, God.
My
12-year-old daughter.
I take my glasses off and they see my friggin' crow's feet. They're like, nah, bitch, get out of here.
Just get some Noxzema. Excuse me.
Some oil
Noxzema
doesn't do that.
She has a condition.
She has a condition.
Mr. Ticket Person. That's what I'm talking to.
Wow, 12-year-old kid with tattoos. How did that happen?
Oh,
well, she was very abused.
Crow's feet.
She was abused when she was younger.
Curses like a sailor.
I'm trying to pass her off as a kid. Like, she was abused when she was younger. It's like, how much younger?
Yeah.
I don't like this.
Okay. Why not? It's funny.
Jeez. Knott's Berry Farm will reopen to season pass holders on May 6th. And then it will reopen to the general public on May 21st. The theme park was to celebrate the 100th anniversary of Walter and Cordelia Knott's legendary fruit stand in 2020, but of course it's been put on hold for this year, and Knott's Berry Farm said the 100th anniversary celebration will be all summer long. Guests can start making reservations as of April 26th. As far as smaller places, there is this wonderful little place called Adventure City in Buena Park. And that also reopened this past week. According to the website, all 11 rides will be open, but some of the other attractions will remain temporarily closed. The Penny Farm will be reopened, but without feeding the animals.
What about mini golf? You didn't touch on any mini golf.
Those are kind of individual. I know some have closed down. Like, there was a Boomers in...
Boomers. Yeah, those kind of went under. The one in Fountain Valley went under.
Fountain Valley went under. God, it looks like...
I used to live right across from it, and I used to walk over with Miles when Miles was little. Oh.
Yeah.
We liked it.
And
you guys ever been to Camelot by my house?
Is it open? I mean, is it... It didn't fold?
I don't... No, it's still open. Camelot Golfland... They had a Boomers next to there too. It's in Anaheim. It's on La Palma and Kramer.
Wait.
The one right off the 91 freeway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been there.
That's like, oh God, I've had so many birthday parties there.
Karen
so
and
awesome.
I, we did our first date there.
Really?
I love a good.
How do you not jump
days.
On that right away when I said it then?
Well, I was trying to think of where it was.
God,
I'm
telling
have
Karen.
To do
Karen.
That. I'm going to be totally old school and take a mini golf date.
Mini
Let's
golf.
Go. Yeah, it's cute. So cute.
That cute.
We used to sneak in. We used to sneak in booze and play in the arcade games.
You don't have to anymore because they sell booze.
Well, now they do, pitchers. But they didn't 15 years
you
ago.
You literally can carry a pitcher around with you while you're.
Really?
I would love to see you run around with a pitcher. Hold on, let me grab more quarters. She's like, she's running towards you with a pitcher.
Like
beating
Vegas almost then.
Heck yeah.
So, anyway, make sure though, you guys definitely check all of your all of the websites though for all the. Theme parks, that way you can really find out what's going on. But those are all the dates that they're going to be opening. So thank God, because a lot of people were put out of work because of those and get them back working
now,
again.
There is a note about Disneyland. A little more specific with that, because that seems to be the one place everybody's just dying to get into. It's very limited. cast members can't sign people in or go in the park themselves.
What?
On the 30th of this month. That's the first day.
Right.
As far as May through whenever is concerned, they haven't even posted blackout dates for it, because the park's only going to be open for at like a 25%
capacity
level, and you have to have reservations and tickets for that specific day, and it's only for Southern California residents.
Okay. I'll just watch a Disney movie.
They're gonna like jack the price like 10 times.
Yeah, there's
and I think from what I read that they're only gonna let people do one park or the other.
Oh. No park hoppers.
I don't think they're doing park hoppers, or they would be very, very specifically limited, because they don't want everybody to suddenly end up in one park area. Or the other when they're...
You got to balance it out.
Yeah, so...
Okay, so either way, guys, definitely check all of the websites for all of the major theme parks so you can figure everything out, so...
Turn off your fucking phone.
Alrighty. Today's guest has been a staple on many radio shows across America, including many visits with our heroes, Mark and Brian. He also rejoined Mark when he was on The Sound. Our guest was born in Portland, Maine, and has been a resident his entire life there. In his 30 years, he spent as a DJ. He has rock and rolled the Pine Tree State up and down the radio dial. Another notable Mainer, best-selling author Stephen King, once called our guest a leading citizen of rock and roll. He is a true record collector and now does record appraisals, and he can help you find out what your records are worth. Please welcome to our program, Mr. Mighty John Marshall. How are you, sir?
Hey, good morning. I am fine. Good morning. How are you?
Mighty John, it is so good to hear your voice. I've heard your voice over the years with Mark and Brian, and also with Mark and everything, so it is so wonderful to hear your voice.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
So, first off, we were wondering, how did you get the name Mighty John?
It's on my birth certificate. What are you talking about?
Is it really? Mom goes, oh, Mighty, John.
Yeah, I have several answers to that question, depending on the age and the sex of the person asking me the question.
Oh,
but in reality, what really happened, I was at a radio station in Bangor, Maine, and the guy that was on before me was doing a bit on Mighty Mouse. And as he ended his show, he said, hey, speaking of Mighty Mouse, coming up next is Mighty John. And I said to, said to him, don't say that. That sounds so egotistical. And then, you know, as I was doing my show that afternoon, people kept calling up and saying, hey, is this Mighty John? And I go, well, that's how they go to remember me. Okay. And so that's how that really happened.
And it stuck. Wow. Well, it definitely fits you. That's for sure.
Thank you.
That's for sure. Mighty John, how did you get started? Besides, I know you being a DJ and everything, but how was it that you got started in truly record collecting, though?
Well, you know, I was very fortunate to grow up across the street from a jukebox distributor. And when they were done with the records on the jukebox, they'd sell them in their shop for a nickel apiece. And I'd buy them purely for love of the music, never realizing in time that they would be worth money. And then I think it was for my 25th, 26th birthday, I got a book on record collecting. And basically that's how it all started. And then, of course, you're in radio. So many records come your way in radio. And every stupid program director I ever worked for would say, you want that crap? Take it. Okay. Thank you. And so the promo records with those magic words, not for sale, or promotional copy, are often worth a heck of a lot more than the commercial copy sold in the stores.
Right. Yeah, because normally they have some type of stamp on it or something saying it's for promotional use only or something of that nature.
I'll tell you one I came across last year at a yard sale was the album Deja Vu by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. Crosby, Stills, Nash, I guess. Commercial copy, $10. The promo copy, up to $1,000.
Wow.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Just because it's got that stamp on it.
Well, it's going to have the words not for sale or promotional copy printed on the label. If it's stamped on the cover, it really doesn't count.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it actually has to be printed on it then.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Because most of the time I've seen them like on CDs or other records, it's like a stamp, but I've never seen it printed, though, before.
Yeah, no, it has to be printed on the label. I mean, anybody can stamp it, so it's sort of like, you know.
Right.
So promotional copies, very collectible.
I found this very interesting, and through the years, and hopefully our listeners will understand it, but can you quickly please explain why a record by itself has more value than if it was signed by the artist?
Well, in most cases, it's because anytime you alter any kind of collectible, whether it's a record, a baseball card, a comic book, or anything, from the way it originally came out, anytime you alter it, you're going to hurt the value. And if it never came with a signature or an autograph, it can hurt the value. And another problem is there are more counterfeit autographs on the market than there are originals. So collectors are a little weary. Did Paul McCartney really sign that? I have a friend who can sign each one of the Beatles signatures. You'd swear the Beatles signed those things. So you got to be very, very careful. Now, if you can authenticate it, that it was signed, say, by the Beatles, then it can really add to the value. But in most cases, bad idea. We always tell people, get a separate slip of paper, have the artist sign that, and then just slip it inside the cover.
Right. Yeah, it's funny because I'm actually friends with, and I don't know if you know about this album or not. I'm sure you do. But, of course, back in 1986, there was a group called the New Monkees, and it came out on Warner Brother Records. And there was a 30th anniversary get-together that we had that I was a part of. And Marty Ross jokingly said, he goes, okay, we get to devalue our album now by signing it. You know, and I have all four signatures of the guys on there and everything, you know. And Marty was kind of saying, he goes, yeah, now it's dropped down from $10 down to like $2 kind of a thing, you know.
Well, another thing you want to do if you have an artist sign an album cover, take a picture of them doing it. That's another way to verify it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I've got a few records here, Mighty John, that I'd like to go over with you and see what the value is of them. The first one I have is a Rick Nelson in concert from MCA.
Well, MCA is a reissue of Decca, and Decca is original releases. So MCA, anytime you have a reissue of an original release, you're not looking at too much money.
Okay.
So even the Decca one, Ricky Nelson and Rick Nelson's earlier recordings on Imperial Records, they can sell up to $100 as albums. But on Decca, up to maybe $40, and on MCA, up to about $10.
Okay, I paid $5 for this one, so I got a good investment then.
Well, I always tell people, buy what you like, and if it becomes collectible, that's just great.
It's a perk.
It's a perk.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, I have here, and I found this at a yard sale, which is, you know, I think how most people find these golden gems, basically.
Right.
This is a Disneyland record, and is the Golden Horseshoe Review, and it says recorded at Disneyland USA.
Well, the Disneyland records, like for soundtracks, like from Sleeping Beauty and Dumbo and Cinderella and productions like that, originals, they certainly can sell for around $300 each. The generic ones, like the one you're talking about, generally are more in the $30 to $40 price range. On Disneyland, Disney, or Buena Vista Records, those are the three labels out of Disney that you want to keep in mind.
Okay, got it. All righty. And let's see, what else do I have here? Okay, I was noticing something, because I'm a huge Monkees fan myself. And I know the Monkees were originally on Cold Gems.
Yes.
And I noticed, because you were going to be on the show, I noticed that there was a difference between the first, second, and third record, where I guess you could call it the code that maybe the label has. So on the More of the Monkees, at the bottom left-hand corner, it says COM-102.
Well, that's the catalog number, yeah.
Okay.
Well, the first album, the first Monkee album is up to about $125. More of the Monkees is up to about $100. The big one is actually the Birds, the Bees, and the Monkees. A mono copy of that can sell over $500.
Ooh, I gotta go find that one then. The Birds and the Bees. Okay. And what's interesting, then I also have the Headquarters album, which is their third album.
Yeah.
But the catalog number was COS-103. And I also noticed on the original one, it also said COS-101. And I take it that's meaning the first album, and then 102 meant the second, and then, of course, 103 meaning the third. But is there a difference between the COS and the COM?
Well, yes. S and M, it would indicate stereo for COS, and COM would mean mono. So when you go find that birds and the bees and the monkeys, pray for COM and not COS.
Got it. Okay. So I would take it then the more of the monkeys that I have is the COM, which is the mono.
Yeah.
So that would be worth
some of them
more.
Some of them came in both versions and others didn't. By the end of the 60s, mostly everything was in stereo. So to find a mono copy, the mono version would be worth more. By the beginning of the 60s, mostly everything was in mono. So to find a stereo copy would be rarer and thus worth more. And in the mid-60s, they didn't know what to do, so they released them in both versions.
I'll be darned.
Interesting. I'll be darned.
Yeah. Wow. My John, I had heard, or could you please tell the story of a certain Elvis record that you found at a church?
Because, when did you hear that?
Well,
I
had heard it before, but I don't think my colleagues have heard this story though, and they would they would definitely enjoy it.
Yeah, thank you for making me look bad. you find most of these records you're going to find at yard sales or flea markets and places like that. So I was at a yard sale held by a local church where all the members of the church got together and had a big yard sale in the parking lot. And I went with another collector, and we both spotted this Elvis record at the same time. And I grabbed it first.
Uh-oh.
And they had a little tag on it of a quarter. And my friend said, "See if they'll take a dime." And I said, "Okay." I said, "Would you take 10 cents for this instead of a quarter?" "Oh, sure." And then I...
Haggling then with the nuns. I love that.
Oh, man.
And then I sold it for $1,300. Oh, yes, I'm going to burn.
They're like, get this sin out of here.
I love it.
I'll tell you another great story. Similar to that, I was at a yard sale, and I spotted this album by the Supremes, their first album. And the value in this case is 100% for the cover. And a woman ahead of me grabbed it first, and she looked inside, and somebody had put a Kenny Rogers record. And so she was disappointed, not realizing the value was just for the cover. So she put it down, and I picked it up immediately. And as I was walking away, she said, "You know, there's a Kenny Rogers record inside that Supremes cover." And I said, "Well, today I love Kenny Rogers because this cover is worth $1,000.
No!
Oh!
Ouch! Ouch!
Wow.
God. And, you know, people always ask me, do I tell people at a yard sale, how much they're worth before I buy them? And you want to remember, it's a case of seller beware more than it's a case of buyer beware.
Right.
A buyer is only paying what you're asking. Or maybe less if you're foolish enough to say, "Yeah, you can have it for a dime." So always be careful. And if somebody asks me before I buy them, "Can you tell me what these are really worth?" Yes. Then I tell them, and you still get a pretty good deal.
Wow. Amazing.
Awesome.
Amazing. Sometimes, you know, most of the albums we seem have to come out of the 50s and 60s seem to be some of the most expensive. Is there anything coming out of the 80s that have some major value to them nowadays? Because, I mean, that's almost, you know, 25, 30 years old now.
Yep. Certainly. For example, how about the Police, the Synchronicity album? Now, this has three different covers. One is yellow, blue, and red, up to $10. If it's gold, gray, or brown, up to $50. And if the cover is black and white, up to $100.
Wow.
Sammy Hagar, "I Can't Drive 55," the 12-inch single for that, is up to about $200.
Really?
How about Motley Crue, "Stick to Your Guns," the very first 45, with its picture sleeve, it's up to $1,200.
Wow.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And Prince can be quite collectible.
Oh, yeah.
He put out an album called The Black Album, and the color of the vinyl makes all the difference. If it's peach vinyl, up to $300. If it's white vinyl, up to $700. And if it's gray vinyl, up to $3,000.
Wow.
And one that I came across, I didn't get it in time. Somebody beat me to it. The soundtrack from Xanadu with the Electric Light Orchestra and Olivia Newton-John.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
It's got her picture on the vinyl itself, and current value up to $6,000.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Amazing.
So, yeah, the 80s and are picking up. Time is the great factor that increases value. But overall, generally, in all the years I've done this, the Elvis era, the Beatles era, it seems to be where the majority of the big money is.
Right, right.
Oh, wow. You're going to go first?
Oh, you have.
I was going to tell really fun story.
Go ahead, Amber.
I'm in my 40s. My parents, they collected albums. My dad was huge into music, and he collected albums all over the place. My grandmother owned a bunch of thrift stores, and she'd go to yard sales to stock the thrift stores.
Really?
So my dad had a massive collection hidden in a closet. I took...
Uh-oh.
I think I was probably 7 or 8, and I took these albums into our attic very precariously while my mom was stoned and napping. And I frisbeed them all over the wooden floor.
Oh, God,
and
Amber.
And I played leapfrog, I mean hours. And then hundreds of albums. Skating on them. We'd skate on the floor. Yeah, I ruined
so many albums.
I think the one my dad cried over was a Boz Scaggs that he had signed. And then what else? An Aerosmith album that he cried over. And then, oh gosh, I think it was the Fleetwood Mac one.
Rumors?
Yeah, it was there was no getting in trouble because he cried.
John, how much are you cringing right now?
Well, it's a bad idea overall. Yeah. Aerosmith and what was the other one?
Aerosmith. Oh,
Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, and the Boz Scaggs.
No. You want to remember that popularity does not necessarily translate into collectability.
Yeah.
So they don't really have any substantial value, maybe in the $20 price range.
Okay, good.
The first Fleetwood Mac album, Peter Green's Fleetwood Mac, that's the big one, up to about $100.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Right. I do have a question about a certain type of vinyl records that started coming out when people started, wanting better sound. That's the audiophile vinyl records for different famous albums they have. How did that, or are they affected by value compared to an original release?
Well, most of the audiophile ones were put out from a company known as Mobile Fidelity Sound Labs, and that's always printed on the label.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, depending on the album, for example, I'm thinking of Fleetwood Mac, Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon.
I had that
copy
one.
The high quality one from Mobile Fidelity Sound Labs would go up to around $200, where the store-bought copy, the regular, would be about $10. So, yeah.
It does make a difference. Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. Okay. John, I've got two more records here. These came from my mother's collection when she was a teenager. The first one I have is a 45 of Marty Robbins' El Paso.
El Paso, almost didn't get played on radio because it was like over 4 minutes long. And back then, they wouldn't play a record on Top 40 radio that was, more than 2.5 minutes. So it's a unique number one record. But not a huge collectible. Should be on Columbia to be an original.
Yes.
And up to about $25, yeah.
Okay, yeah. And it's in the original 45 sleeve also.
Well, is it a picture sleeve with a picture of Marty on it?
As a gunman.
Yes. That certainly would add another $25 to it. And you bring up a great point. The picture sleeves that came with 45s, 99% of the time, are worth more than the actual record. And the big example is the Rolling Stones. 1968 had a 45 Street Fighting Man. The record worth up to $10. The picture sleeve by itself, currently up to $18,000.
Holy cow!
So Whoa. Those are very... They're not all in that price range, but generally they're worth more than the record.
Gee, wow. Many crickets. 18,000.
One that I got last summer at a... Yeah, one I got last summer at a yard sale was the Beatles' Can't Buy Me Love. The record worth up to about $40, and the picture sleeve by itself up to $800.
Woo!
Woo! Art. That's the point of that, is the art.
Yes, no kidding. Okay, the other one that I have
is a theme from A Summer Place by Percy Faith.
Yeah, another Columbia record. Instrumentals generally don't get to be too collectible. Great record, very romantic, but monetary-wise, no more than $20.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, because I had these friends, because these actually mean more to me than, because of the family, than anything else. But
yeah,
I just wanted to find out how much, you know, because these are, again, originals. And again, it has the Percy Faith picture on it, too. So I wasn't too sure.
Yeah, sentimental value is a great factor. And if you have a lot of records, one thing I should point out, have them attached to your homeowner's or your renter's insurance. Very cheap. But if you don't have documentation as to when they're lost or destroyed, it's tough to get full value. And I do a lot of work for insurance companies. You know, when people lose their records, they want to have them appraised. Matter of fact, Alice Cooper lost all his records or had them stolen from a storage unit in L.A.
Oh, wow.
And, the insurance company asked me to appraise them because he had a record of what he had, which was mostly all his own stuff. And I came out with a total of $5,000, and he agreed. He thought, right on, that's exactly what I thought. So that was cool.
Oh, cool.
Nice. Some people feel that picture discs are not worth... or feel that picture discs are worth a little bit more because they seem to be a rarity. But if I remember correctly, they're not really worth that much. Is that correct?
Well, we saw in that Olivia Newton-John ELO, that picture disc is up to $6,000.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends. Picture discs became very popular in the 80s, but they actually started back in the 1930s and have been featured throughout the years, but they became very prevalent in the 80s. One that I got at a yard sale was Springsteen's Darkness on the Edge of Town, which is up to about $125.
Not bad. Not bad at all. Okay. Your collection, I would take, is worth quite a bit. What are your top five most prized possessions in your collection, my John?
Wow. The IRS isn't listening, are they?
No.
Of course not.
We don't broadcast to Washington, D.C., so you're okay.
Well, you want to remember that not every record collector collects every record.
Right.
Most will specialize in a particular era or a particular type of music. For me personally, I like the music of the 50s and 60s because that's where the money is. The big one that comes to mind is Elvis. He had a number one hit record called Can't Help Falling in Love with You that he ended every concert with. And now the regular 45 that RCA put out is worth up to about $40. But they also released Can't Help Falling in Love with You as a 7-inch 33, which means it's the size of a 45, but plays at the speed of an album.
Right.
And with its picture sleeve currently up to $16,000.
Wow.
Holy
moly.
And I got that from a promotional guy from RCA who had no idea what it was worth.
So, wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I have a question.
And, yes.
What determines, who determines the value typically, like the whole, you know, of the market for these?
I do. You got a problem with that?
No, I don't.
That's why he's called Mighty.
I am happy to know that, but no, I was just curious of what that is.
No, that's a great question. Well, I can only tell you what we do with records. We started doing this in 1978. And at the time, we tracked record auctions and used a database of 2,000 different record collectors who would submit their sales and their estimates as to what these things are worth. And generally, that's the way it's done with baseball cards and comic books and things like that. It's not an exact science. You can't say that album is worth, you know, $25.22. You know, you can't, but you can get pretty darn close by seeing what these things sell for.
Sounds a lot like the stock market as well.
Yeah.
Let's make it up as we go along.
But a lot of collectors into it strictly as an investment because they continually go up in value.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some go up a lot faster than others, but they all go up over time.
All right.
Hmm. Is there any publication, like in baseball cards, there's the Beckett books and other books that list values year to year, and they come out with one every year. Is there any kind of publication like that for vinyl?
Well, if you go to my website, moneymusic.com,
plug.
We do put out a... if we do put out a record guide on a CD, you pop it into your computer, and you can look up the values for over a million different records by over 75,000 different recording artists from 1902 to the present day. It's 1995. We pay the shipping. So you can get one at moneymusic.com.
Moneymusic.com.
Yeah, that's definitely where you want to go. And what's nice, too, is I was looking at the website last night, Mighty John, and too, what's nice is that you kind of also break it down in different categories as well.
Right.
So like, let's say if you want to find out what the money is for certain soundtracks or anything like that, you have those there.
Yeah, the big one for a soundtrack is The Caine Mutiny, which is a Humphrey Bogart movie from 1954.
Oh, yeah.
On RCA, the original soundtrack currently up to $10,000.
Oh, wow.
Jeez.
Yeah. But there are a lot of soundtracks that aren't that collectible, but we'd list 10,000 of them on that CD.
There was, I remember watching Billy Crystal do his one-act play, 700 Sundays. And in it, he talked about the Commodore record label, where it was a number of jazz artists. And they did very few, but there was, I think, a total collection of, like, I believe, like 77 or 78 different records that they released. How much would a true collection of something like that off of a small independent label be worth?
Well, it really depends on the recording artist rather than the record label.
Okay.
And jazz can be quite collectible. There are five basic categories where the big money is. Rock and roll, certainly number one. The blues, extremely collectible. Soul music, country, and jazz. And there's a special category called pre-war blues. These are blues records that came out prior to World War II. They are extremely collectible. Robert Johnson, known as the father of the blues,
right,
put out 26 78s prior to World War II, each one of them up to $10,000.
Wow. Huh.
Yeah, so that's a very collectible category. And the other category is Northern Soul. Are you familiar with Northern Soul?
No, what is that, my God?
In about, almost 20 years now, 20 years ago in England, in the northern part of England, there became a tremendous demand for obscure soul records released in the U.S. in the 60s and 70s. That's the category Northern Soul.
Oh.
And the big one is a 1966 45 Frank Wilson, Do I Love You, currently up to $40,000.
Wow.
Gee, many crickets.
Okay, I have one more question here.
All right.
Now, the higher the value, is it just sound nicer when you're sitting and listening to it with a little glass of scotch in your hand? You're like, can you hear the money in that, you know? Because I think it would sound better.
I mean, you're basically asking, do you hear the chi-ching between the lyrics?
I would appreciate sitting and listening to it. Because I have friends who are like, you've got to sit and listen to this on vinyl. And I'm like, oh, God. But I think that would add something to the experience if they were like, this is a $10,000 album, Amber. I'd be like, okay, I'm listening.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I would never play a record worth $10,000.
Oh!
It's like the spins on the turntable, like the odometer mileage on a car. The more plays, chances are, you know, you're going to scratch it or damage it in some way. So,
you know, like when you tossed your dad's records, Amber.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I should have told you they were all worth $10,000.
Right?
I feel real good.
Yeah, the good thing is he's already dead, so he can't kill me. That's a bad joke.
As it gets quiet.
Sorry.
Way to quiet the room, Amber.
I got dark. I got dark there. I know. Sorry, Dad.
Oh, my gosh.
That brings up a great point, too. You know, the death of a recording artist, people think that makes the record go up in value. Not true.
Okay.
Only time will increase the value.
Oh, okay. Only time itself.
I'm looking at your website here, and you've got all these, you know, records of the day. Do you have a staff? I would imagine you do, but do you have a staff there that decides this, or do you personally decide these records of the day and how much they're worth? What's your process in doing this on your website?
Yes, I do decide it. Yes, I am the staff. Yes, but what I do generally is do like a year's worth of, ahead of time, and you know, just save them on my computer, and then every day I just bring them up. So yes, I decide. Yeah, I love doing it. So you know,
that's cool.
Yeah,
my John, with you know the way technology has gone, it seemed back in early 90s, you know, CDs started to take over and everything. And, of course, actual vinyl sales began to decline. But then in recent years, record sales, vinyl sales, have actually started to outsell CDs again for the very first time in, you know, something like 20, 25 years. Was that a surprise for you on a certain thing or not really?
Well, yeah, and at the same time, you know, a lot of the younger audience realized that analog sounded better to the human ear than digital. And so when they realized that, they asked the record companies, you know, can you put this on vinyl so we can hear it, like, you know, better than digital? And it was a demand from that younger audience that really drove it. And it's fun because, you know, when you're listening to an album and you can actually hold the cover and read the words on the back or any kind of descriptions, it's more enjoyable than just a, you know, an MP3 or right. You know, even a CD. Now, CDs, there is a market for them. When CDs first came out, they came out in what was known as the long box.
I remember those, yes.
You had to destroy it to get to that CD inside.
Yeah, you did.
And then they went to the jewel case. So the long boxes were around for about 3 years. And there's not an established market for them, but I see them sell for as much as $50 just for the box.
Wow.
If you were careful in removing the CD from the box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, I mean, I was reading an article about a year ago or so on how the vinyl really made a comeback, and it was actually outselling CDs. It just blew me away. You know, and then now go ahead, Brian John.
I was going to say the big difference is when I was buying vinyl back in the 60s and 70s, you know, $298. New vinyl is like $30 to $40, so it's a lot more expensive to buy it than it was back when it originally came out.
Very true. Yeah, because I remember buying, you know, 45s for like $1.99 kind of a thing, or sometimes 99 cents if it was on sale or whatever. What is it about vinyl that makes it sound better than digital?
Well, I'm not an engineer, so I don't know the exact answer, but it does sound more, has a more fullness to it. It's a much more enjoyable to the human ear than digital. And I think you can notice it if you play a CD back-to-back to the vinyl of the same record. I think you can notice it.
Yeah.
It's more warmth, more personal, more intimacy involved.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely true. Well, my John, it has been an honor and a pleasure to have you on our program. And may we call you on from time to time as well, just the way Mark and Brian did?
I love to do it. Every month I put out a list of 10 different records worth $100 or more. And I do them on radio stations and podcasts across the country, some of them every month. So anytime you want me, I'm here. I'm yours.
We would love it, my John. Absolutely. And thank you so much for it. And once again, guys, if you want to get your albums appraised or anything like that, you want to go to moneymusic.com. And everything you need is there for Mighty John, even to contact him. You can even email him or call him, and he'll be there. And he does special things if you want to have him look at your collection as well. So, and he'll definitely take a look at it and tell you what it's all about.
Just want to give him a big hug.
Thank you.
Big bear hug.
And by John, we got
to... You want to go to a yard sale with me?
There we go.
Day, yard sale, thrifting, antiquing.
Watch how he does it. As soon as his hand reaches for the bin, you know, we take him out at the knees.
Jump on it.
Just take him out at the knees.
We know that little sparkle in his eyes that we hop on it first.
Yeah, you know, so that would, you know, like when he's there and he looks to the left, looks to the right, that's when you take him out.
Yeah.
Love a good yard sale, though. I really do.
I have one more thing, if you'll go with me here. On your website, up at the top, you've got a bunch of albums across here. You've got, you know, The Police and Elvis and Thriller, and you've got the... One album that was the very first album I ever owned when it came out, and that was Meet the Beatles.
So if I still had that today, what's that worth?
Oh, don't hurt yourself, Steve.
Oh, he's going to have a big time.
It was,
well, the original, yes. The original 1964 issue on Capitol would be up to around $400.
Okay.
Oh, well.
That's not too hard.
That's not too bad. That's not too hard.
There's so many of them out there. You know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah.
He was expecting 400,000.
Yeah. If I heard that, I'd probably go out and jump off a cliff. But $400 I can live with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Mike, John, once again, thank you so much for being on our program. We really enjoyed it. And yes, we would definitely love to hook up with you, like once a month type of thing also as well.
Learn some fun info. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate it very much.
All right. You take care of yourself, my John.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye. Thank you.
Such a nice guy.
Big bear hug.
I like talking to him. He's cool.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted him on the show for you guys to see. And that's what I was saying the other day, if you have any albums, or whatever. Well, you destroyed your dad.
You know what's funny is that what my parents I'm just going to tell a little story real quick.
Okay.
So I think I was 7 or 8, and I got... My mom's like, okay, we love music in my house.
Mm.
That was a thing for us. My dad always had a really nice stereo system, big collection.
Yeah.
It was a thing for us. And my parents were like, we'll take you to the record store. I wanted my own album.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted mine.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, we'll take you. We'll let you pick out anything you want. And I chose the Olivia Newton-John. I think it was one of her greatest. When did Physical come out? What year did that come out?
Oh, that was like 81, 82,
was
I
it?
Think. Yeah.
Because I was little. So I got her greatest hits, and it had that, and it was a fold out. It was a double album, and you opened it, and it was her and the leotard.
Yeah, yeah.
And just like laying all sexy on the ground. That record, I played it nonstop, but I also slept with the...
Did you masturbate?
I was too little to really, because you're not really young, but I literally...
You felt something tingly, though.
I would sleep with that double, that centerfold out. My mom would be like, why is it, kind of warped? It was kind of... That's my mom's like,
And why are the edges wet?
I think this is a lesbian.
And why are the edges wet and wrinkled?
They weren't. They were not. Like I said, I was 7 or 8. But I loved...
Funny.
I would listen to that constantly in my room on my Fisher-Price little record player that my parents got for me.
I think I probably got the same record player,
Yeah.
It was a mono speaker or whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, I loved going to the record store.
Yeah, me too.
When a new record was coming out or whatever, and buying the 45 single. And I was hoping to pull some other stuff out. And Roman and I were in the garage yesterday, and we have two trunks, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's trunk when he was in the Air Force, which is a blue one, and then it's a narrow, and then Karen had one, I think it was one that her grandfather built for her as a young girl, and almost like a hope chest kind of a thing, and it's a little bit wider, so that sits on top of my dad's, and the thing is, they're both filled with albums and stuff, and I was trying to get to mine, which are on the bottom. There's no way. I've got to empty out the top one. I'm not going to go through all this work. I said, I've got some albums hanging on the walls here.
Yeah,
and
you had your faves out. That was good.
And go over those to see how much, they're actually worth and everything. And some rarities, as it is, too. So, I loved going to the record store and sifting through and seeing the covers, like he
Me
said,
too.
And everything.
I miss
those days. And you don't have that opportunity of an MP3.
No, it's a different thing now. So now we're on, now it's on the internet and you're seeing, we have so much more of artists these days. I mean, you get the good, the bad, and the ugly. You get all the dirt. You get the worst pictures next to their best pictures. They're all online. I like how transparent it is now. Because when I was young, you go to the record store and you're seeing all these posters and these magazines with them in it. And everybody's like so glamorous. They're like superhuman.
Well, they were.
They were and they still are, but they're also all just regular human beings who are incredibly talented and got super lucky with their talent.
And sometimes, the record stores would sell the promotional stuff afterwards. So if you got some of that sometimes, That was really cool as well, too. So, but
that was fun.
Yeah. So thank you again, my John Marshall. And, you know, we're going to try and keep it up with him maybe once a month, too.
Yeah,
and
we should get him in here in person.
That'd be great.
It'd be hard because he's in Maine.
That's true. Well, he has to. I mean, who doesn't want to take a trip out to
Southern California? Yeah, right. Okay.
Some people.
We'll take him to the zoo. Yeah. All right. Yeah, Santa Ana Zoo, because that's where we're going to go.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So,
for $12.
Exactly. There's something I wanted to show you guys,
okay.
And I thought it was really cool. Zach, don't pull it up just yet, though. So, I want to do this individually. So, I'm going to have Steve close his eyes. Okay. And
when do we punch him?
And actually, I'm going to have Zach close your eyes, too.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Okay. And Amber, you'll be the only one to look at it right now.
Okay.
All right.
Just don't hit me.
What is the first thing you see? Don't tell me. Just see.
First off, close that thing to the right. I'm very offended by that.
Okay. Yeah, I can tell. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So real quick, just tell me. Just keep in mind.
I saw a man's face.
Okay. I didn't want you to say anything.
Oh!
As I just said.
Sorry.
Okay. But hold it in your mind, the first thing that
okay,
you
hold
see.
It in my mind. That's not what I saw.
Okay, the first thing you saw in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, so Amber, close. Well, you already know now, dumbass. Zach.
Yes.
Go ahead and open your eyes, please.
Okay.
Okay, ready? And I'm just going to kind of flash it here for you.
And don't say what it is?
Yeah, you know, the first thing that you saw.
Okay, we'll do it one more time. Huh.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, yeah, you got the first thing that you saw?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Steve, okay, open your eyes now, please. Okay. And you might want to put your glasses on, Steve. I don't know. But, okay, here we go.
Does
the
he
first
have
thing.
Glasses?
He has glasses?
No, he doesn't.
Oh.
Okay, here we go. Steve?
Yes. True.
First thing you see?
Don't say it.
Don't say it. Don't say it.
Like I did. Don't
you
say
it. You have it? You got it already? Okay. Amber. Since you opened your mouth first.
The power of suggestion was strong, huh?
Yeah, and that's just it. That's why I wanted to keep it quiet. So, you saw the man's face,
mm-hmm.
correct? Okay. Zach, what did you see?
I saw a farm,
okay.
right away.
Okay. All right. So, okay. And
I saw the man's face with the white mustache.
Okay, great. Okay.
Nose.
So, here it is. The image you see first in this personality test reveals what secretly is important to you in relationships.
Oh, what?
Okay.
I'm nervous about this now.
All right. So if you saw the man's face, you are a big picture thinker. Literally. You can't help but stop yourself from planning everything from what you're going to eat for every meal the next day down to where the children you haven't even had yet should go to college. It's just how you're wired.
Mm-hmm.
You secretly want the most out of a relationship is stability and control. You feel your best when you are guiding others and steering the ship of your lives. A strong partner who is willing to let you take the helm is exactly what you need, particularly when they trust you enough to kick back and not make any waves.
I like it. Can I tell you what I really saw?
Really?
I couldn't think of his name fast enough, but that's literally, I was like, oh, it's Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott, that's what you saw in there?
Was
Sam Elliott.
Yeah, I was going to say, oh, Sam Elliott.
Okay.
What's that one? What's Sam Elliott?
All right, so Zach saw the farm, which is basically the huts. Okay, so Zach, if you saw the huts.
I did.
Okay, when you first looked at the picture above, you're the kind of person who is scared of a real relationship.
True.
You like the idea of having a partner in theory, but the reality of sharing your life with someone scares the pants off you.
No, my girlfriend's listening, so this is perfect. Keep going.
You've run away from good relationships before.
Oh, it just keeps getting better.
You may have even ghosted the odd partner here and there.
And now everyone's listening.
Mom,
in the end, I'm the only one that mattered.
Mom just tuned in. Okay. You don't want to be alone forever, but the idea of being in a real relationship is daunting. What you want out of a relationship is friendship and physical intimacy without labels.
So I want to get laid.
No, you want friendship too. You want connection.
Other people can call it whatever they want.
Friends with benefits.
But what really matters to you at the end of the day is that your partner is a friend, just a friend with whom you have sex.
No, oh no.
Once again, she's listening. This is fabulous.
Is that the end of that one? Is that the,
they understand that you need to move a little bit more slowly.
Why didn't I just say it was the frickin' man?
And they know that you thrive when relationships aren't defined to a perfect T.
I mean, I saw Bo, for God's sakes.
Okay, hang on. I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Zach, did you see huts or did you see sheep? Because I was wondering if that's what...
I don't know what a huts is, so I'm going to say I saw sheep.
Well, he said he saw the farm.
Saw a farm.
Yeah, so to me that means like the houses in the back. Okay, now, if it was the sheep that you actually saw and made you think of the farm...
Oh, God, there's something for this?
Yeah. If you saw the sheep...
Who's on meth writing this?
When you first looked at the picture, you are a sensitive, romantic person.
This is more accurate.
Who is easily hurt.
This is more him. See? I knew. See?
You have a proverbial mountain of love to give, but wary of doing just that out of fear that you will be rejected, or worse still, let down in every possible way.
God, it's like the Psycho edition of This Is Your Life.
This one's more accurate, right?
Yeah, I guess. Okay. But I'm like, who the hell is coming up with this from a Pictionary game? Okay.
You know that being this way isn't easy, but you can't help it. Your heart drives you.
And I like getting laid.
What you want out of a relationship is to be constantly swept off your feet.
Yes.
You want to feel 100% adored at all times.
Mm-hmm.
You want a life of being carried over the threshold daily and surprised with flowers nightly. You want a partner who will show up at your office and serenade you with a song. And what's more... you want someone who totally means it all. You want a life with romance comes naturally, and the love behind it is unquestionably sincere.
Okay, let's take out that first part and plug this part in. Kristen, go back and listen to this part.
Yeah, so this is more accurate. This is more like you. The other one was not you.
Mm-mm. No, not at all.
I don't know. But what he said, though, I think it's a combination of the two of them.
It makes for great radio. Yeah.
So, and
there you go.
Okay, and there was a boy at the tree, because there was four main figures in there.
Oh, God, I can't wait to see who picks that and gets that fucking forehead.
Yeah, I actually saw, the first thing I saw was the man's face also, myself. And then I'm thinking, there's a boy at the tree? Really? I actually had to look
Sam
for
Elliott's
it.
Sam Elliott's what I saw.
And I saw it. So, if you saw the boy at the tree, you first looked at the picture above, hopefully... you're a hopeful realist. You know better than to assume every date that you're going to go on is going to be your last first date, but you can't help thinking about how the last name sounds with your first name. You've been through the mill of dating, but you still believe in love. You just aren't as quick as to fall in love as you were when you were first started this crazy ride. What you want out of a relationship is open communication and trust. You don't need flowers, and you don't need grandiose but empty gestures. You need someone who understands that a relationship only works when people are in it, put in the time and effort. So there you go.
Interesting. So, I didn't even see the boy.
We're actually gonna we're actually gonna post this thing in the article here.
Cool.
And everything, so that we can figure out which one you were with the whole thing. So the more you know. Exactly. So okay, I gotta share this with you guys. We've got a little bit of time left. Do you guys talk in your sleep?
Apparently I do when I've been drinking.
When you've been drinking.
Yeah,
so
otherwise, no, not really.
Steve?
That goes for a lot of us.
Not necessarily talking.
Okay.
Mumble.
Make noises, and it's more physical, moving
really?
Around and reaching and doing stuff, yeah.
Okay,
wow.
Zach?
Interesting.
Yeah, I've been known to go, I'd like to have a grilled cheese sandwich with mustard, please, thank you.
Ew.
Really?
Ew.
No, I just totally made that up.
Oh, okay. But I mean, have you heard yourself talking in your sleep, or?
How can I hear myself if I'm sleeping?
Has anybody ever told you?
No, not really.
Okay.
I should have just opened with that.
There's times where I am like in that halfway zone, and I hear somebody talking, and I don't realize it's me, okay?
Oh.
So, past week, Karen decided, because lately, for whatever reason, I've been talking in my sleep.
Poor Karen.
I don't know why. Oh, yeah. And I told her, if I wake you up, grab the phone.
Yeah.
And she did. And this is what came out.
You know, because it's on me, it's on your thing. One, two, three, four. He started off on guitar.
Started off on guitar, okay.
But is known for his jump.
But is no gorgeous slump? Let's try and figure out what he's saying. Here, hold on. Let's turn it up.
You sound like a bear.
Did the door open?
No, it was a fart. It was a fart.
Yeah, I'm going to straighten it sort of up it, so that's great. The misdirection is helping out.
You're bossy even in your dreams.
Yeah. Dave, have you really done the right choice?
Have you really done the right choice? I don't know. Now, here comes a big snore.
I think you have sleep apnea.
It sounds like a bunch of guns going pow, pow, pow. So there you go, guys. I had to share this with you.
That
I thought is hysterical. Okay,
is,
so
that
I also
is both funny and worrisome for you.
I broke it down. So if you want to just hear just the first one,
okay,
sleep talk one.
No, because it's on me and stuff, but it's on your thing. One, two, five, six, seven.
It's not like you're counting down to something.
It sounds like I'm fucking drunk is what it sounds like.
Were you?
It sounds like you're working through some shit.
No, I'm working through some major.
Okay, I just want to say one thing. I would love to hear this happen to Steve. I think it would be even funnier.
Oh, no. It would not be radio friendly.
I don't.
NSFW. Noise. NSFW.
Steve would be probably like, I eat one edible, and I can minus the two. And sometimes the watermelon's better than the brownie.
All right, play the second one.
He started off on guitar, teaching on guitar. But it's known.
That's funny.
And then I go back to sleep.
Was this the night before you went to sleep that night? Is this when you had your band?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
You're really thinking like, hard about
well,
this.
Well, yeah. That sounds like this was a conversation and things fresh in your head that you're, you know, working through.
Yeah, exactly.
From the band stuff.
Exactly.
All right, one more.
Okay, play the... This is the last one, isolated.
Down the street.
I sound like the Tasmanian devil.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, that's good. That's the right choice. That's the right choice.
Okay. We were talking earlier about Disneyland reopening, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you guys remember that bear over, like, right before you entered Bear Country or Critter Country that was snoring?
Yeah, kind of.
I could replace that guy.
Seriously, you could. You could.
Especially with this last one. Play the big-ass snore.
It sounds like a machine gun going off.
I'm pumping something or whatever. I don't know what it is. But like right in the middle of it, it sounds like it went whoo. Play it again.
Oh God.
Can I have that as a sound?
Yeah.
Turn off your fucking phone.
It sounds like a saw or something.
I think you got to go to a sleep clinic for the sleep apnea.
Oh, my God.
I honestly think this goes great with...
Turn off your fucking phone. Turn off your fucking phone.
So I had to share that with you guys.
That's
I
hilarious.
Told Karen, you know, if I start talking...
Great job, Karen. Honest to God.
Yeah. There's points where, like, I hear myself... talking in my sleep because I'm in that in-between stage.
Yeah.
I go, like, who the fuck is talking? And I realize, and then I go back to sleep.
Yeah.
So when does she sleep?
I know.
When she's
Karen.
Downstairs.
Oh, poor Karen.
You know, oh my God. So I had to share that with you guys.
I love that.
She's downstairs pouring herself a bottle or a glass of Jack Daniels.
Right. So my sister, when I was visiting, my sister talks in her sleep. And we always, whenever I'm visiting, we always sleep in the same bed. It's like our thing, sister time. And She, I mean, it was a grieving time when I was there. Obviously, it was a rough time. But she talks in her sleep still, which is shocking because as a kid she did.
Mm-hmm.
And as she's talking in her sleep and she's mumbling, she doesn't snore, but she will literally hear herself and then go, shh. So she's shushing herself.
Oh, that's funny.
And it would wake, for the first couple of, first two nights, I was like, what the f*** is happening? And I realized... The night before I was leaving, I was like, Kara, you're literally talking in your sleep, and then you're hearing yourself, and then you're shushing.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, she's used to shushing her kids, you know.
Sister and I could have a conversation.
Probably.
That would be fun. Yeah. I would love to hear that.
She does a lot of mumbling, but she does talk in her sleep.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's times where I've had full-on conversation. I mean, Karen's woken me up, like, or after we've both woken up for the morning, excuse me, as she's leaving for work, and she goes, who were you talking to last night? I go, why? Oh, you were trying to discuss this and that and doing this and going there and whatever. And I have no recollection.
Yeah.
Of it all.
Your brain's just like going.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Exactly. All right. Should we play the game then?
Let's.
All right.
Ladies, gentlemen, it's time to have a great time playing a great game. That was a haiku for Quiz Me. Quiz you.
I like that.
That was good.
That was clever.
Yeah.
Yeah, good job, Steve.
Yeah, wow.
Good job, Steve.
You guys remember that?
He worked in the haiku.
You guys ever seen Wayne's World? Remember that movie?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
One of the best.
And two.
Speaking of haikus, one of my favorite lines, right?
We're looking down on Wayne's basement. Only that's not Wayne's basement. Isn't that weird?
That's weird, man. That's weird. Garth, that was a haiku.
Had to share that.
All right. Let me do the first five.
So we're not doing haikus. So.
Okay, I'll do the first
go
five
ahead.
Here.
Yeah,
all right.
Not
all right. Question number one.
Oh boy, I gotta get used to this.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay. President Johnson proclaims his great society during his what?
Zach. His underpants.
No.
What? Wait.
Say that again. Read that
President
again,
Johnson proclaims his great society during his what?
Amber. His second inauguration speech? I don't know. State of the Union? State of the Union
State
address?
Of the Union. Yeah, there you go. State of the Union address.
That was kind of a...
Right. You got two for one.
Okay,
that's
question
fine.
Number two. Which musical featured the song... Sit down, you're rocking the boat.
Steve.
Shoot, of course.
Gino and I did this.
I knew you.
Guys and Dolls.
Yeah, Guys and Dolls.
Wow, we're well underway.
Question number three. UNICEF is responsible for which specific group of people?
Steve. Children.
That's right, children.
Jeez. I was going to say pennies.
Steve's on the roll here.
Yeah.
Well, that's only two.
It's more like a bagel.
No? Well, yes.
All right. Question number four.
There you go. Not so easy, is it?
No, it is. I just wait for the moment.
Oh, okay.
Father's Day. Father's Day was first celebrated in which country?
Zach? Japan.
No.
One. Just Amber? Happy to be here.
I'm going to guess United States.
Yes, USA. Yeah.
You're right.
Oh, wow.
That makes sense. I don't think they have, yeah.
Well, Amber and Steve are tied.
All right, tiebreaker. Here we go on question number five.
Intense.
The most popular meal ordered in the United States restaurants is what?
Amber.
Amber?
Chicken fingers.
No.
Dave.
Wow. Cheeseburger.
No. Christopher?
McDouble.
No.
What?
Zach?
Pepperoni pizza.
No.
Okay, I'm mad it's not chicken fingers.
Okay, actually, Amber is close, though.
Chris?
But it's not the answer I'm looking for.
Chris. Steve.
Christopher?
Oh, I know.
Chicken tenders.
No.
Steve? Fried chicken.
Yes,
that was
fried chicken.
That's what I was going to say.
Fried chicken. There you go.
Gosh.
All right. Steve's got the next
okay,
five.
Here we go.
Okay. Question number six. In the song, You Can't Hurry Love, You'll Just Have to...
Amber.
Chris.
Steve. Or Amber.
Wait.
No. That's it.
Wow.
Well, go ahead. We're waiting.
We're waiting.
You can't hurry love.
Question number seven. What famous rock and roll group got its name from a song by the blues band Muddy Waters? Zach.
The Rolling Stones.
That's it.
Oh,
good job, Zach.
Wow.
The only question I'm going to get.
Question number eight. In 2013, the Guinness World Records awarded Betty,
Zach.
I guess, White.
Oh, yeah. Never mind.
With having the longest what?
Zach. Lifespan?
No.
Amber? TV career?
That's it.
Okay. Oh, wow. Good job. I think Amber's pretty much got this.
That's
in the
answer. Okay, question number 9. Okay, everybody get ready to say your name. In 1988, former pop singer Sonny Bono is elected what?
Oh, Amber.
Sean.
Amber. It's mayor, right? Was he mayor? Of California, of oh no, wait.
Mayor of?
Los Angeles? No.
Sean?
Sean?
Mayor of Palm Springs.
Palm Springs, okay, it was
that's
out.
That's the answer.
You know why? Because it's that stupid Salton Sea.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it divides us, damn it.
Yeah.
That damn Salton Sea.
Well, no, that was his playground.
Oh.
He was all about that Salton
Sea. Okay, question number 10. Okay. Who hosted Family Feud until it was canceled in 1985?
Sean. Richard Dawson.
That's it.
Dang.
Wow. Okay. Well, it's Amber stole the winner.
Mayor of something. Palm Springs. Okay.
And now something for a nice summer's evening.
For those of you traveling down the road, there's a little bit of Glen Campbell.
Hey, look. Haikus. County, no.
And no. I drive the main road. Searching in the sun for another.
Love it, love it, love it! Well, hope you guys enjoyed today's show, especially thank you to our guest, Mighty John Marshall. And the show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page, Your Weekly Dose. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1.
You want to follow me, Steve? Facebook is Steve Silva. On Twitter, at SilvaLining69.
Get it?
Oh, puking dog. Thou art a sick puppy.
Amber Ash McCary on IG and Facebook.
I'm at Zombie Mel Gibson on Instagram. If you want to see my wall of meme that I've been working on, yes. It's called the Wall of Meme. It's pretty cool looking.
Cool. And if you want to follow me, Sean, on any of the social media, it's simply Sean R. Unplugged. And also, guys, don't forget to listen to us past moment shows on Delmarva Talk Radio from 7 a.m. Wednesday through Friday mornings. And also on Lime City Radio at noon, also Wednesday through Fridays. Again, it's at noon. So thank you to our affiliates allowing us to be on their networks. And once again, thank you to Mighty John Marshall. And go out and have a wonderful weekend, everybody. And be good to each other. Take care.
Have fun, world.
Bye-bye.
Now, this is on me and stuff, but it's on your thing.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.